When you are asked by your friends or your neighbors or your colleagues about a place in Scripture that you could take them that can show them what makes your faith in Jesus different than the other faiths in Jesus around the world, what's one passage that you think of? I'm going to guess that a lot of you probably thought of Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Let's just turn there. I know that's something that I go to often. Because as Christians here who try to follow the example of the early church and only go by Scripture, baptism is something that we commonly talk about a lot because it's something we have a difference of opinion with a lot of people. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. As much as we really focus on this, I think there's something in the nearby context that is also equally important that makes our faith a little bit more unique. If you guys want to turn to Acts chapter 2, I want to look at verses 41 to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now what I want to point out from this is they had everything in common with one another. Now, this is a little bit unique from today because a lot of the people there in the early church who were first converted also didn't have much anything because they were traveling and visiting there. But I want to look at that community mindset they had. Day to day, they were in breaking bread from house to house. They spent a lot of time with each other just in their everyday lives. Tonight, I want to talk about hospitality. And the reason why I say that it makes our faith unique from a lot of others is growing up in a denominational world, they don't really spend a lot of time with each other. If they do, it's not really spiritual activity focused on helping each other grow closer to the Lord. I mean, they'll go to cookouts or barbecues sometimes, but you don't have that sense of fellowship and brotherhood like I believe we do. I think that's what sets us apart. Jesus says, "You people will know that you're my people because of the way you love each other." And when I talk to my friends about the Christians here and what we believe, I really try to emphasize of how much we try to be in each other's lives. And with that being said, this lesson tonight, I'm not hoping to show anybody anything new, but more of a reminder about principles about hospitality to remind us of things we need to keep in mind and how we can encourage each other. So I guess I have three basic points, kind of like how Brother Marty Broadwell talked about when he was visiting here. He had his objectives for the class and then his goal for after the class. My objectives here tonight is understand what the ultimate goal of hospitality should be, the reason why we are hospitable, if that makes sense. And then the third point is understanding some practical things to keep in mind when we're dealing with people. So, when I was thinking about hospitality, I've come to realize from my study that the ultimate goal is mutual spiritual growth and encouragement. That might sound a little weird to you, but think about a lot of the examples in Scripture about when people were hospitable. Rahab, for example, she was hospitable to the spies. She took them into their house, and then they brought her into the Lord's house. Ruth was beyond hospitable to her mother-in-law Naomi, which ended up bringing her into God's household also. Abraham was hospitable to God and his angels without knowing it, and in return for that, he received the promise of Isaac. Lot was hospitable towards angels, and they saved him. Cornelius was hospitable to Peter, and he heard the gospel. Barnabas showed Paul kindness and helped bring him into the church of Antioch with the brothers. And later, when Barnabas was led astray by Peter, Paul was a source of correction for him. And there's a couple other examples, but I see, in my opinion, whenever people in the Bible reach out to each other, it looks like God's main goal is to help is so that we grow. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, so as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He says, while it is still called today, and he says, day after day. That's not just Wednesdays and Sundays. Of course we can't encourage everyone every day, but we can make a constant effort to have people over and to talk with them. And the reason why I put that under hospitality is I've found some of the best spiritual conversations I had were over a meal. And how are you going to know how to encourage somebody if you don't bring them into your home, into your life, to get to know them? It takes effort, and sometimes it takes a little bit of willing to be a little uncomfortable, because it's very easy to be hospitable to those who we like, but oftentimes those who we like aren't those who need help. When it comes to the reason why we are hospitable, I think it's very ineffective when you reach out to somebody to only reach out for the sake of a Bible study. How many times have you had somebody talk to you and invite you over to study or something, but it seems like that's the only thing they want to talk about? They just want to change you. Now, of course, you can count that person as caring for you because they want to talk to you about the Bible. But I'm sure we also have people in our lives who've made an effort to get close to us, to have us over, to get to know us. And when they correct us, it's a lot easier. If we look at Matthew chapter 25, I want to look at Jesus' emphasis on what we should be doing, our outlook on reaching out. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 30, or 40, I mean. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent you did to one of these brothers of mine, even to the last of them, you did it to me. When we're showing kindness or hospitality to people, we should be treating them as if with the same level of love as we would treat our Lord. And you might be thinking, well, what do any of these things have to do with spiritual encouragement? Well, think about it. If somebody's a stranger and you invite them in, that gives you plenty of opportunity to talk to them about their faith. Something that kind of confused me about some of Jesus' teachings is why he would ask us to go the extra mile when people asked something of us, like back in those days when the Roman soldiers could ask a citizen to carry their stuff for a mile. Well, one time I was studying with Scott, and he said, well, when you're walking with that soldier for 2 miles, that gives you plenty of time to talk to them about your faith. But if we only reach out to people because we're trying to change them, that's maybe well-intended, but that's not really totally kind. Let's look at Genesis chapter 18. I'm friends with Joe Works on Facebook, and as I was preparing this, I really appreciated some points he brought out in this. And I wanted to talk about some of the points he pointed out to me in here, and then some other things I had prepared. Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite of him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on, since you have visited your servant. And they said, So do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly, prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. And Abraham also ran to the herd. And he took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried and prepared it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. So the first thing I want to point out here is that it was in the heat of the day. Isn't the hardest times for us to be hospitable when we have a lot of things going on and might be a little uncomfortable? I know it's very easy for me to invite people over when I don't really have much planned, I don't really have much to do. But Abraham's a good example. Even when it's really hot and uncomfortable, that's when he reaches out. Actually, I think when things are a little tough, that's the times we need to reach out more, because that's when other people need help more. And then also, he doesn't work himself. He's seeking to be hospitable. He's actually trying to convince them that they need his help. He asks them, please do not pass your servant by. And then he brings the piece of bread. He gets help, but he's a person who prepares the stuff. Well, he's a person who gives it to them. And that's the kind of mindset we need to have. We need to be looking for people that need help. I think one of the most difficult things about hospitality is our assumptions of how much help people need get in our way. I know one thing I struggle with is sometimes I don't reach out as much as I should to Christians who have Christians in their family, because I assume, well, their family are Christians. I don't see why they would need encouragement. But you know, as I get to know people from camps and people here and people just by visiting other congregations, appearances and people's situations can be very deceiving. Sometimes people like me, we come out of the world and we have to lose a lot of friends, and none of our family are Christians. And I've gotten a lot of attention from those who've been sensitive to that, and I appreciate that. But you know, if we just assume that people do or do not need help and we're not actively trying to get to know, people are just going to fall through the cracks. We need to be like Abraham, and whenever we have an opportunity, reach out so we can get to know people. Because we're not going to encourage each other day by day if we just assume everybody's fine. That ended up being a little bit shorter than I wanted to. But if you're not a Christian, or if you haven't been reaching out like you should and trying to get closer to your brothers, we have a time set aside tonight that you can ask for help. If you have any other problems in your life and you need help, well, that's what we're here for. We're here to encourage you day by day if necessary. So if you need help in any way, or if you want to obey the gospel, please come forward as we stand and sing.